about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
And we're back with another edition of Brain Stew Wrestling here at BrainStewRadio.com, more like Radio.com, and any other places that might be streaming this. So this is our post-Extreme Rules episode. It was an interesting pay-per-view, to say the least, but we'll get into that later.
We will get into that in a second, Mike. But first, I figured we can at least get some announcements out of the way.
Sure.
At least one big one. So, with regards to BrainStewRadio.com, the site, you come to the site, you watch the show, and then you see shows. You see that little shows tab.
Yep.
Which resembles the collection of shows that the BrainStew Radio Network offers. Well, what's going on is behind the scenes, Mike, myself, and a few other people have all been talking behind the scenes about starting collectively a podcast hosting network.
Yep.
And so what we're going to do is what started as the Mike and Hammy show way back then evolved into BrainStew Radio, the show. And now the show is evolved into the network. So what we're going to do is starting tomorrow with our first acquisition, our old pal King, who used to host the show with us back in the day, he and his co-host Gemma are coming to the network with their show Social Downfall Radio. The first episode will be available tomorrow afternoon.
It's just nice to see King doing a show with someone who doesn't look like they should be banned from bus stops.
Right. So we will be expanding the library of content you can download. And if you're listening and you want to subscribe, go to BrainStewRadio.com. It's right there on the front page. Audio, video. We have audio podcasts. We have video podcasts. Some shows might be podcast only. Some shows are going to be live before they're podcasted out. We're going to have a whole bunch of content for you, and it's all completely free. I want to make this abundantly clear for everyone. All of the shows are going to be 100% free, both to stream, download. There's no plans that you're going to have to pay for to get it early. We're not going to do anything like that. As soon as they're done recording, you're going to get them within hours. So we want to have as much content going to you as possible. So our first show, Social Downfall Radio, will be airing their first episode. We'll be up on the RSS feed tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, sir.
So that has us. BrainStew Radio, the show, will be back in some way, shape, or form. Mike has his By the Way show. Yep. There will be other shows that we're planning to do as well. So you're going to have at least 5, 6, 7 shows right out of the gate. The tentative launch date is sometime in June. Just keep following at BrainStew Radio for any updates that we may announce. So, but then there we go. Official announcement. We are going to start a podcast / internet radio network here at BrainStewRadio.com. So again, thank you to all who have supported us through the years. And with that, let's get talking about pro wrestling, because this is a wrestling show and you guys don't really care about anything else. You want to hear about wrestling. So I am Hammy, he is Mike, and I am completely sunburned from vacation in Texas, but that doesn't matter because I still had the time to watch Extreme Rules. And overall thought, cameo for my cat here on the video, overall thought of the show, I really liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed Extreme Rules.
It was a pretty good pay-per-view. It lulled in some spots here and there, but it was a pretty good pay-per-view. I mean, like I said off-air, the best two matches were the IC title match and the world title match, even though the result of the match was, but the actual pay-per-view ended on a high note.
It absolutely did, and while we may, like, out of all the returns, I got to be honest with you, Mike, Seth Rollins' return at the end of Extreme Rules to close the show was fantastic, to say the least.
Yeah, it was really well played. I mean, we all knew Reigns was going to win. And literally no one thought Rollins was going to return at that point because he, Like, they had announced he was coming back on the 6th, which ended up being just fantastic misdirection by WWE. But it was all blown up come Sunday because it got out that Rollins was there.
In the age of the internet, everyone's going to eventually find out.
Well, I mean, yes.
I mean, I think the last time I was genuinely surprised of a return was Jericho's a few years ago. Where it was kept under wraps, and he, like, it, people didn't even find out until he was just about to walk through the gorilla position.
Yep.
So here we go. Here is how Extreme Rules went off the air this past Sunday night.
I want to watch
each other. That's what it's all about.
You now, you, here's where you know it start, turns to cheers when they start to see Rollins go into the ring.
What did we say on the show, Mike? As soon as Seth Rollins comes back, the pop will be massive. And we were right. And the pop was massive
now,
for Rollins.
Rewind a bit, though, because I'll go back to the beginning of this. I want you to notice when the boos turned to cheers.
And who pushed each other. That's what it's all about. To the absolute. Pushed each other.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
That's when they saw Rollins.
And you know, honestly, good job to Michael Cole for selling it, too, for the excitement. This was a awesome return.
Now, I want to point out, too, this was with muted crowd mics.
Yes, this video was, thank you to WWE.com for providing the clip for us. Again, all clips are WWE copyrighted. This is after, this isn't the live show. This was after it was posted on WWE.com.
And WWE tends to fuck with the crowd volume when it's some, a situation like Roman Reigns getting booed.
You hear the crowds? They chant holy shit, and some are even saying thank you, Seth.
Yeah. Now, just picture how loud it is now, and imagine that it's much louder.
Precisely, JBL. And we said, over the past few weeks now, there are several cities where Roman Reigns will be eviscerated by the crowd. Extreme Rules took place in Newark, New Jersey, which is a stone's throw away from New York City.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Reigns got
booed
demolished.
Horrendously.
Demolished.
It was
by the crowd.
Glorious.
Cool story, bro, in the chat room. That pop, though.
Yeah.
Unbelievable reaction to Seth Rollins returning. So we start off the show on a very high note. Now we're gonna continue on a very low note. Here is Roman Reigns' entrance, because we love doing this. My favorite thing to do is to get Roman Reigns booing videos. So this is at the end of AJ Styles' entrance.
AJ Styles got a big pop too.
Styles, massive pop. We knew going into this that Styles would get a pop. But listen to the crowd as soon as Styles' music ends.
This could be the culmination of an incredible career for AJ Styles. He walks out of here, WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Incredible 5 months since bursting on the scene in the Royal Rumble match.
Just keep it going.
Oh, they were not ready. They were not wanting Roman Reigns.
Just keep it playing. Keep it playing. Roman Reigns can't connect with fans.
As Roman Reigns said last week, this is the
Roman Reigns will never get over.
Yes, it is.
Roman Reigns kicks out at 2.
Oh my God. You want to start with the main event?
Just off the bat?
Let's just start with the main event. The match itself was great.
Yeah.
It was a great match. Styles carried Reigns immensely. And to Reigns' credit, He did a few things in the match that I thoroughly enjoyed, but I'm sorry, I gotta hear the boos one more time because it's just amazing. But the build-up...
5 months since bursting on the scene in the Royal Rumble match.
Ooh. 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 Not a good day to be Roman Reigns in Newark,
not
New Jersey.
Good at all.
So, here we go. The match itself, let's dive into it. An analysis of the match. I thought Styles and Reigns delivered one of the two matches of the night. Second best match of the night. I think you all know what our pick for match of the night was, but we'll get into that in a little bit. This was a very impressive main event. I applaud Roman Reigns for going through it, but I'm sorry. When Styles gives you two Styles clashes in a row, one on the chair, one on the ring, phenomenal forearms, constant chair shots, and you still kick out of everything...
By the way, the best meme.
Is that Roman Reigns? I thought it was John Cena, just in a Roman Reigns costume.
There's fantastic memes now. Like, it's kind of like a split picture on shows Reigns. No one can beat my kick out of two. The next picture is John Cena going, soon, dot, dot, dot.
Molecular butt monkey in the chat room. Styles carried the fuck out of that. I wholeheartedly agree, sir. AJ Styles was the workhorse in this match.
This just in, AJ Styles injures his back because of carrying Roman Reigns twice in a month.
Yeah, AJ Styles deserves Employee of the Month for carrying Reigns through two very, very good main event matches. Yeah. And again, it takes two to tango, but you clearly know.
Let's
you can clearly tell. AJ Styles was the better competitor. He was better in the ring. He sold everything better. AJ Styles was just head over heels better than Roman Reigns in every conceivable way.
Like, did WWE think the fans were going to like boo Bullet Club guys over Roman Reigns and the Usos?
No, I'm sorry. It's the Busos. Remember?
No, the Bullet Club.
Well, yes, it's Bullet Club with Reigns and the Usos, and it's the Busos when it's just Usos.
By the way, we
got our prediction right. The match was going to end in sheer douchebaggery.
By the way, Bullet Club kind of sounds like a Becky Lynch pun.
Very true. So, for those of you who did not watch the show or want to remember... Here is a closing minute of the main event of Extreme Rules. Cue that up there. There we go.
Roman Reigns, steel chair to the Usos.
And by the way, listen very closely to the crowd. Because I don't know if you guys heard what I was hearing, but the crowd was loudly chanting, yes, yes, with every chair shot. The crowd wanted nothing to do with Reigns and the Busos.
Steel chair to the Usos. AJ Styles has gone completely crazy now with these steel chairs.
He better go crazy. That's how bad Styles wants it.
AJ Styles is fighting.
Yeah, he was hitting the Usos with it too.
Styles went crazy. It's the second AJ in WWE history to go crazy. So after all of that, two Styles clashes, a move that he almost never does because it's dangerous, sets up for another phenomenal forearm, and here's how it ends.
Elbow exposed.
Put an exclamation point.
Oh, hit a spear though. That's a win.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
Finish. All right. Listen, if they justify it by AJ Styles was so exhausted from carrying Roman Reigns, it only took one spear. That's the only time that's an acceptable finish. The only time.
But then Styles has to sell that he is exhausted.
Listen, carrying Reigns. It was exhausting.
I'm sure he was physically exhausted, but he wasn't selling the fact that he was exhausted in the match. So for that booking reason,
hey,
I may have agreed with you on that.
Hey, he can no sell that because Roman Reigns is no selling every finishing move from AJ. So
cool story, bro, in the chat room that with Rollins coming out how he did. I doubt Reigns is going heel anytime soon. We'll get into that in a second with Monday Night Raw because Seth Rollins blew all of our expectations out of the water with how he handled himself on Raw. But let's stick with Extreme Rules for a second here. The main event, again, I would give it a 3.5 out of 5 stars as far as a great match goes.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, AJ Styles shows that he is the best worker that WWE has right now. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. AJ Styles is the top performer in WWE. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Except maybe now that Rollins is back, possibly Seth Rollins down the road. But for my money, there's no one better than AJ Styles in WWE right now. He is the best performer on that roster.
I'm going to actually do a counterpoint. He's right now the best in-ring worker in WWE. I think the best total package, like everything all together, guy, though, is still Kevin Owens.
I agree. And the IC title match, I mean, if you want to get into that right now, oh, man, we said on this show that will be your match of the night.
And it was. Like, if you
wholeheartedly match of the night and potentially match of the year.
That was like if with the exception of The Miz, it was pretty much like three former Ring of Honor guys who've worked together for over a decade now.
Yeah, this match was if Ring of Honor released a video game and you just had a random fatal four-way with your four favorite guys. Yeah. Or three favorite guys.
And The Miz.
I mean, to The Miz's credit, I will give credit where credit's due. The Miz has been a fantastic heel champion. I loved The Miz. I loved what he was doing. I loved his performance in the match. I loved his promos. I love hating Maurice by his side. I love hating The Miz. But to his credit, he knew that he was the weakest link in the match. So he participated in the match when he needed to and let the three guys who everyone wanted to see carry the match.
He's a really good heel, but how many times is he going to be given these like IC title runs?
Like, that's the only title that I believe Miz can carry. Because remember his run with the heavyweight title a few years ago, leading to WrestleMania 27. Like,
hey, you know what though? Him being in that main event was part of what led to the pipe bomb promo. So,
oh, absolutely. Miz didn't deserve that run at all. But here we go. Here is how your match of the night ended at Extreme Rules.
Has to work out at the right time. Miz sent over
Cesaro,
the
throws Miz out of way.
Sami Zayn does a Hoover kick.
To win the championship, and now it's Kevin Owens costing his former friend his bitter
this was
title.
Minute 18 of 20. And Zane, the booking of this, Zane,
and Owens are so concentrated on beating up each other that the Miz steals the win.
Now, you know the last time this happened? Something like this happened?
When?
I was brought back to Hell in a Cell, Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle, everyone was expecting Kurt Angle to come. By the way, I love Sami Zayn's face right here.
Yeah.
This is a face of man. He's like, I guess I lost another one. What is I going to do? Vince will never give me a push.
I was initially no. I mean, no. Listen, he's gonna eventually get fans hijacking the show.
But throwback to Armageddon, Hell in a Cell.
All right.
No one expected Kurt Angle to walk out with that championship. Everyone knew going into it that Kurt Angle was gonna drop to either Austin, Triple H, or The Rock.
And then he ended up winning.
And
yeah.
Angle, to his credit, let everyone else beat the living crap out of one another. And then he went and stole the pin. I was brought back right to Armageddon, Hell in a Cell with this finish. It was good booking, in my opinion. I just don't like that for a split second, Zayn was distracted and just clouded with rage and beat up Owens when he had the opportunity there.
No, that makes sense with the way those two are.
Well, for that finish, yes, I agree, but I don't know. I think it could have. I would have liked to have something different other than that that 10-second gap. I mean, I'm really nitpicking because this was a masterpiece of a match.
I initially was annoyed that Cesaro ate the pin.
Yeah, we got this prediction totally wrong. We did. Ass backwards wrong.
The thing is,
we predicted Cesaro would pin Zayn and win the title clean. But sure enough, it was Cesaro who ate the pin and The Miz gets the championship again.
Thing is, though, like, Cesaro took everyone's finisher in that match.
That is true.
So, like, that actually is better. Like, it makes him look stronger that it took a haluva kick, a pop-up powerbomb, and a skull-crushing finale to be pinned. So, I'm not as mad about that as I was, but this was the perfect opportunity for The Miz to drop the title. Maybe he, maybe he holds it till SummerSlam.
I think it was a missed opportunity, but at the same time, I like lengthy title runs. It makes a championship mean something to me.
Even if he dropped it, I think it's still, this match would have still made it mean something.
Butt Monkey has several things in the chat room, so let me catch up with the chat. Miz is an amazing heel. I wholeheartedly agree, sir. And there is still some bullshit that Vince has against Cesaro. I don't know why. See, I don't know about that, because if there was any legit heat that WWE officials might have had on Cesaro, they wouldn't be giving him a new entrance look, all these match opportunities. They wouldn't have put him in any IC title picture. So I think the WWE, and I think the big picture here, which when we get into talking about Monday Night Raw, I think WWE is finally starting to realize that they have some really popular young talent here, and people don't want to see Roman Reigns. Because there's a big rumor going around, and again, this is just rumor that you told me privately, Mike, off air, that Vince is slowly,
like, he's getting tired of the reactions Reigns is getting. And supposedly, Triple H is the one who's kind of saying, no, keep pushing him strong. And Vince is, like, starting to get tired of going with Reigns as the guy. And that could fall in line with rumors about Rollins returning. The first rumor with Rollins was that he was going to be putting the Money in the Bank match, but they might have him feud with Reigns over winning the title right away as kind of like an out.
Either way, I'm very excited to see what happens with Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. Very excited for that. But sticking with Extreme Rules, the women's match, it was a good match. Not going to lie, I thought it was a good match.
Weird ending.
Like, that ending came out of nowhere, and it just didn't make sense to me. Dana Brooke coming and helped Charlotte, once again, cheat to steal a championship victory. I kind of feel bad because Natalia had three chances now, and she lost each match via cheating heel. And I get that the heels are supposed to cheat to win. They're supposed to bring every trick out of the book to try and get a win, but enough. I am so tired of Charlotte stealing wins that the big win of Sasha Banks beating her at SummerSlam is just not going to mean anything to me. Because I think if Charlotte actually wins legit all this time and just is a real, real bitch of a heel, I think that Sasha Banks' victory will speak more volume than cheating to win all the time.
No, because she'll have found a way to beat Charlotte, who has been cheating to keep the title, like kind of circumvent what Charlotte's been doing to keep it.
Kind of like how The Rock was in early 2000.
Yeah.
With going against the corporation.
Well, yeah, or when he had the title in Foley.
Or the McMahon-Helmsley era.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, I can see that. The final highlight of Extreme Rules to me was the Ambrose Jericho cage match.
Not the match.
It's called the Asylum match, but it's a steel cage match with weapons hanging on the side. But the match is not what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
This coming up right here is your spot of the night.
Let's play.
No
it.
Questions asked.
Another code breaker.
Right, reverses a code breaker and throws a middle-aged man. Let's just get this out of the way. Jericho is
a guy living through his midlife crisis.
Jericho should not be taking bumps like this, and he is thrown onto a bed of thumbtacks. Something I never ever thought I would see again. Thumbtacks being what I'm talking about here. I never thought I would see thumbtacks again in a WWE reign, but lo and behold, Ambrose and Jericho give me a thumbtack spot.
Yep.
Which, if I was Mick Foley, I would be very proud of this. And
pretty sure he was.
Huge, huge credit to Chris Jericho for taking that bump.
I think there was a picture of Foley with Jericho after the
thumbtack. Yes, there was. He did Instagram that or post on his Facebook. Oh my God! Yeah, they know how to fall, but you're a I freak out and in extreme pain because of sunburn and a splinter.
He had thumbtacks in his back and arms.
Ambrose gives him dirty deeds on the tacks and gets the pin. Bravo, bravo! So again, here is your spot of the night, Jericho being thrown onto thumbtacks.
Yep.
Wow, what a moment.
Yeah.
Because I really almost hate to say this here. This match, while it was still lackluster as far as excitement, overall excitement goes, it was still a better Ambrose hardcore-like match than his match with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you really think Brock Lesnar was going to agree to a lot of stuff they did in this match?
No. Lesnar was going to get a kendo stick or a chair tops.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, Butt Monkey in the chat room linked us to the Bon Jovi DirecTV commercial. Yeah, Jericho's got the Bon Jovi hair going on. So, cool story, bro, in the chat room saying that should have happened way earlier.
Yeah.
Many, many whys at the end of way, so you know he's being really serious. Kidding, buddy. It wasn't satisfying after all the crap that came before it. I absolutely agree. The match was boring. It had one really awesome moment, and it was just...
And Rusev is now...
It just wasn't eventful.
The other thing to point out from the pay-per-view is Rusev is now the U.S. champion, which means he's going to lose it to the returning John Cena.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is what I think is going to happen. You are going to have a returning John Cena, well, next week.
Rusev is your new U.S.
Until John Cena. I mean, we all know what happened with Rusev after he feuded with Cena. We had that Jerry Springer type drama with Lana.
I think the only person to lose a feud with Cena of late and not have themselves derailed,
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, like
that's a good question for you guys. Who's the last guy besides Kevin Owens that lost a feud with Cena and was still popular and in the main event picture? I can't think of anybody.
Yeah, that's. I can't think of anyone.
You would say CM Punk, but CM Punk got a few wins against Cena.
Well, no, CM Punk won that. He won that feud. Like, CM Punk did not lose that feud because he won most of the matches. Cena won the last match, but, like, all of the title matches in that feud, like, CM Punk won.
Butt Monkey saying, I know you are mostly WWE, which, yeah, we are mostly. But please watch Lucha Underground. I have to really commit to watch Lucha Underground.
I know, so do I.
I keep meaning to want to at least start watching it. But this has to be a joke, but Tensai, he's saying in the chat room. So, overall, final thoughts on Extreme Rules, Mike?
It was a very good pay-per-view. Like, a lot better than expected.
What would you say? I think we're both in unanimous agreement here that match of the night was the IC title match.
Yeah. I mean, that match, like, it was one of those times where it delivered.
That is one of the times where I would really not complain about anything during that match. I loved it. I used God knows how much of my cell phone data in the airport watching the match, but I made sure I saw that match before anything else. Your spot of the night was Jericho being thrown on thumbtacks. Your dud of the night, I would almost guess that the Asylum match.
Yeah, no, that's definitely
aside from
the
that
night.
Bump, it was a dud match. I didn't like it.
Yeah, that was it was so boring. Before we go to Raw, I do want to point out a quick. I read this a couple of Kevin Owens story that I just found. So apparently over the weekend, Ariel Helwani, who does an MMA podcast,
right.
Mentioned a story of his friend who owns a restaurant in Montreal about a story of Kevin Owens going there, like a bad restaurant, a bad experience at the place. I guess they kind of made it seem like Owens look worse there. So Owens took to Twitter and was like, someone just pointed me your podcast and here, like, speaking kind of a, here's my side of it. The guy said he was only there waiting for 24 minutes. He was like, he was there for double that time. The staff was unapologetic.
So what did he do then?
He was refuting stuff that was said, that was mentioned on the podcast there. So, Kevin Owens' Twitter, by the way, he signs it off though. The future Mr. Money in the Bank, Kevin Owens. So, the other couple other quick ones. We had a couple releases in WWE this weekend. Cody Rhodes, followed by Eden, who left the company to support her husband. He requested his release because of
let's get the big news out of the way. Yeah. That's the biggest one. Cody Rhodes asks for his release and is granted by WWE.
The least surprising, Adam Rose also released.
I said it would be a week, but it took just about 2 weeks for him to be fired.
It was
Adam Rose fired. It was inevitable. It was going to happen.
He actually
best
requested
in future endeavors.
He requested his release as well.
So Adam Rose gone from WWE.
And one more real quick story. This is big news from today. It's been announced that starting, I believe, in July.
July 19th.
Yep. SmackDown is going to go live on Tuesdays is the first thing. The other thing.
It's so desperately needed.
Yeah.
Because people will just wait for spoilers to come
out.
They
want people to care about SmackDown, which I think is a good thing.
Which is great because we haven't cared about SmackDown in, God, at least 5 to 7 years now.
The other thing is they're doing a brand split. Now, you could say arguments for one way or the other, but think about it like this. The things they're going to be able to do with some guys on SmackDown, which, let's face it, Vince is going to be less involved in SmackDown. So I think that's where they should put their former Ring of Honor guys, like the Kevin Owens, the Sami Zayns, the Cesaros, the AJ Styles. And just let them carry SmackDown and let it be the best pure wrestling show on the main roster. And let Raw be where Vince has his, like, big guy fantasy.
So once again, SmackDown is going to be
the better show, yeah.
Sure Paul Heyman's not running in again?
I mean, I'm sure they'll have, like, Rollins and Ambrose, like, helping carry Raw. But, that would just be beneficial to SmackDown. Have it have the best matches.
It would be beneficial to SmackDown. I completely agree, Mike. When you're called up to the main roster, I think you should start on a SmackDown.
The best thing about SmackDown going live, SmackDown's viewership was meh because everybody knew what happened, so they kind of had the incentive to skip it. Now they can't with it being live. Now, the brand split, there's arguments going to be for and against it. Why release so many people if you're going to do a brand split?
I, for one, completely support
the brand split. Yeah.
Like, why do all those releases if you're just splitting the roster?
I can't understand with the immense roster that WWE has, why anyone would not support the brand split again.
Again, it depends on how they do it. It could either go really well or it could become a massive train wreck.
Well, let's hope to the wrestling gods out there, not JBL, that it is a success, like your Seth Rollins.
Hey, Kevin Owens thinks that JBL is a legit wrestling god. He's not a fan of Cole.
So before we get into Monday Night Raw recap, a quick little announcement here. Our pals at Pro Wrestling Magic have a pretty decent signing that they got.
Yep. Oh, not. I don't know if it's he's like working for them. I think it's like an appear, like a him coming for like one night.
Either way, the Pro Wrestling Magic, sponsors of the show,
but Saturday,
relatively brand new promotion.
Saturday, June 11th, and
at 7 p.m. at the Morgan Jr. Arena, 67 Hathaway Street in Wallington, New Jersey.
I might have to go to that, but the main attraction for that card is NXT star, former Ring of Honor star, Tommaso Ciampa. Now, for those of you wondering, hey, he's on NXT. How is he able to take independent bookings? Because him and Johnny Gargano have tier B contracts, which means that it's kind of what Samoa Joe had initially, where you're on NXT, but you can take indie bookings.
Right.
Samoa Joe doesn't have that anymore. So he has a full-time contract, but Ciampa is working on a tier B contract.
So while he does wrestle for NXT and he could be called up to the main roster and offered a full-time deal.
Well, what they'll do is they'll give him a full-time deal at one point in NXT and then eventually, yeah.
Right. So for now, he can still wrestle for NXT and take independent bookings. And
big ups
to our pals in Pro Wrestling Magic because,
that's gonna
again,
be a big one.
They are a brand new promotion.
Again, I think I'm going to go to that.
I don't see why we wouldn't go.
Pretty sure I'm going to that.
Go to a pro wrestling show for tickets are just $20, and it's in Wallington, New Jersey.
Yeah, meet Tommaso Ciampa, like,
and all the big stars in Pro Wrestling Magic, our pals over there. So again, Ciampa is going to be at Pro Wrestling Magic Presents Misdirection Saturday, June 11th at 7 p.m. at the Morgan Jr. Arena, 67 Hathaway Street in Wallington, New Jersey. Tickets are just $20. You can purchase them at WrestlingIsMagic.com and check out Pro Wrestling Magic on Facebook and Twitter. So, with that said, Mike, let's transition to Monday Night Raw because we only have 20 minutes left here. Because this hour is flying by tonight.
It really is. So, Raw. Let's start with the opening segment, which had a lot in there. It had Seth Rollins doing his Raw return, which let's face it, sounded a little louder than Sunday because they weren't muting the crowd mics, doing an epic promo. Let's hear about that pop, though. That pop, though. As they say.
Hashtag dat pop. So here's Seth
dat
Rollins'
pop,
here's Seth Rollins' return on Monday Night Raw.
It's so,
just as we thought. Just as we thought would happen.
It's so loud, Hammy had to turn the volume down.
Yeah.
I like his new shirt, like the black and white with the redesign, rebuild, reclaim on the back.
Massive pop.
Let's guess who's ordering that new Rollins shirt along with the Nakamura and Cesaro shirt.
So this was Seth Rollins' return, and I wanted to just get that pop right there because that pop though.
But followed by that promo though.
Oh yeah. To be honest, I wasn't really that happy with what they did with it.
But Rollins was so good with it, I don't care.
Yeah, Rollins killed, as always. But here is his return promo to the WWE Universe. Fans immediately saying, welcome back.
Did you guys miss me or what?
Just playing off as a face. Because we thought
We thought, Mike,
he was going to have a massive face return.
Because we all think we know that Rollins is going to return as a face and be the face of the company and be the face in WWE. But as you may about to find out,
that way, right? I mean, when I put
that's
a
steel not the case.
Chair in Roman Reigns' back and destroyed the Shield. Yeah, you said I was a coward. You said I hid behind the authority every chance I got. I mean, you basically discredited every second of hard work that went into that title reign.
Oh, my God. He's...
And then...
Not quite Kevin Owens level as a heel, but like...
Something happened, right? I mean, something profound
very
happened.
Very good at generating heat.
My knee, it buckled. It buckled under the weight of carrying this company on my back for so freaking long.
And you got a pop.
I don't need any of you. I never did. I didn't need you to win the title. I didn't need you on my side to defend it night after night after night after night. And I don't need you to get it back. Oh, well, now you want to boo me? Is that it? Is that how it's going to be?
Such
that's fine.
A good heel.
There's only room on the Seth Rollins bandwagon for one dude. And that's me.
Not going to lie, I was really hoping for a face Seth Rollins. But... He plays a heel there. So good, I really don't care.
Every day to get back in here and take back the title that I never lost.
Oh, man.
That's fair. He never lost the title.
That
never
is
was
more
pinned.
Hard nope, work in 7 months than any of you have put together in your entire collective lives.
He is fire in this promo.
So do whatever you want. Cheer me, boo me, it doesn't matter. I'm back for one thing. That's the title I never lost.
Fans are conflicted. We should boo him because he's an asshole, but we hate Roman Reigns. But it's just...
I alone will take back my WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
So Reigns comes out. Rollins does another dick heel move, which is amazing.
As Reigns is about to come into the ring, Rollins, of course, does the traditional cowardly heel thing to do. Just playing it off very well.
Reminds me when he said he was going to defend against Lesnar the day after WrestleMania.
I'm conflicted. I should be booing Rollins because he's
but
a heel.
But he's so good.
But I love it.
He's so good at it. It's like Kevin Owens.
That's right. Kevin Owens is a savage, but we love him.
Yeah.
So then Shane McMahon comes out and he does this.
And believe me, this is a match that is WrestleMania main event written all over it.
Just with Dean Ambrose thrown
in. But we're not going to be waiting for WrestleMania. At WWE's next pay-per-view event entitled Money in the Bank. It's going to be Roman Reigns defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Seth Rollins.
There we go. Main event of Money in the Bank. Roman Reigns defends his WWE World Heavyweight Championship against the returning challenger, Seth Rollins.
Yeah. So, now that we've gotten through that, which was an amazing...
That's not the only big return that happened this weekend. And on Raw, that's not the only big return.
No, it's not.
Because on Monday Night Raw as well, since we're discussing returns, we are one of our absolute
favorites,
hands down one of our favorites, returned as well. Who? Well... Let the video show yourself.
How you doing? It's amazing how popular these guys are right off the bat.
As soon as Cass stopped there, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. He's coming out. He's coming out. He's coming out. Again, listen to the pop.
Hey! Ends up just, his energy is like over 9,000.
Over 8,000, really, but the translation error.
Wow, we had a Dragon Ball Z reference. What are we, the New Day?
I went deep with that one, too.
Here you go. Again, to show you that Cass got a nice pop as it is just for him coming out because people were expecting just Cass. But then he points to the back and the fans lose their minds. Here we go. Listen to the pop.
And then Enzo loses his mind. Hey! As
he's here!
I like he's running across the... He dropped the microphone. He's a lunatic. It's great. With the Thriller jacket with like leopard print trim.
Look at the outfit.
Glad he's okay, but he's still just as annoying.
And then, of course, to show you, we're going to let the clip speak for itself, but if you want to know just how fucking over Enzo and Cass are, they are New Age Outlaws,
yes,
circa late 90s level over.
Because they've got a similar dynamic. Enzo's the mic guy who does the main like entrance promo, and then Big Cass does the catchphrase at the end.
It's like Rocket, Raccoon, and Groot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like that.
Spell it out for you, and I got two words for you. Just
my name is Enzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide star.
Just like the Outlaws entrance.
You can't teach that. And this right here, this is Big Cass, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that.
Now, why didn't they have him return yesterday, the day before, like in Jersey?
Bada boom, realest guys in the room, how you doing?
See, why did you have to ruin it for me now? I was happy to watch him return on Raw, but you're right, he should have returned at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, like in his home, like that would have been a massive pop, but no, this is a massive pop too, though.
You have an entire stadium chanting your
yeah,
your entire catchphrase.
And entire entrance promo.
Diagnosed me with a concussion. It's okay. It's what I like to call a hard sneeze, a joke.
And he did a dab.
Bless you. You're freaking right, I'm blessed, because I am all the way up, and I got the gift of gab and the gift of jab. And if I had a dime for every time I got knocked down and didn't get back up, I would have 0 dimes.
Oh my God, he's just a natural on
so
the mic.
So as for those,
I know we're being really lazy right now, just commentating on over a video, but
couple of haters.
This is just
Bub
so much.
And Devin Dudd. You two have been
their energy.
Out of line.
Their energy is just on a whole new level.
And Enzo's charisma is just.
So you know, do us a favor, and don't do us no favors.
The soft talking part that he's been doing lately and the promos has been amazing.
Unreal. Another big moment that happened on Raw this past week. Charlotte, I don't have enough time to play all the clips here because I really want to play what happened after Raw on the WWE Network.
And I do want to talk about, let's quickly go into the Money in the Bank qualifiers.
Yes.
So we had...
Because there are actually some matches there.
We had 5 qualifiers for Money in the Bank. The first one... Sami Zayn beat Sheamus clean with like a sudden out of nowhere haluva kick.
I thought Sheamus was going to win.
But I like the way they did the finish. I like the haluva kick being an out of nowhere finish. Like he did it right out of the gate in the four-way match to Kevin Owens. Like I like that. I don't like, I like it better than him just setting it up and doing the finish. So that was great, you know, pushing the new era. Then you had Cesaro versus The Miz, which Cesaro won cleanly. So that puts Sami Zayn and Cesaro at this point in Money in the Bank. Then you had Apollo Crews got attacked by Sheamus and then lost to Jericho in his match. Which, by the way, Apollo Crews, you should probably sell the attack when you're entering the ring because you completely no-sold it during your entrance. Dean Ambrose beat Dolph Ziggler in an okay match to get in there. So at this point, we've got Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Ambrose, and Jericho in the Money in the Bank. And then we had a spectacular main event, AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens.
Which Styles loses.
Yep. I mean, again, though, like, people are like, oh, he's losing clean now after losing the world title in a dusty finish match. But he took a pop-up powerbomb under the steps and then a pop-up powerbomb. It's okay. So
yeah, the beating he took justified the loss. But so people are still going to be out there saying, well, he loses two in a row to Reigns. Now he's losing to Kevin Owens on Raw. He's no longer in a heavyweight title picture. So what's next for AJ Styles?
We'll see. But real quick, I'm going to do some fantasy booking very quick. Now, Alberto Del Rio won his qualifying match during the SmackDown tapings, and there's one spot open. Realistically, of what's there now, there's three people who have a realistic shot of winning the briefcase. Because Jericho's not. He's not going to win it. Sami Zayn hasn't been around long enough to win the briefcase. Del Rio's not going to win it. He's already fucking Paige. Why does he get the briefcase? And I don't think they're going to put it someone major as the seventh person. So the three that have the biggest shot are Owens, Ambrose, and Cesaro. And I think Owens is winning that briefcase.
I think Owens, he had his shot with the IC title. You haven't seen him really make a big complaint about it anymore. Yeah. I think this is his turn to go.
So here's what I think happens. He wins the briefcase. Supposedly SummerSlam is going to be Cena versus Reigns, which I think is where Cena wins the title for the 16th time.
And ties Flair's record.
That's not the important one, though. The important one's going to be number 17 eventually.
Yes.
So Cena wins number 16. After the match, you hear, because Kevin Owens is such a dick heel that he would do that. And SummerSlam is WWE's favorite time of having someone cash in.
You're right, it is.
It's their favorite of having a heel cash in specifically. Del Rio's done it. Orton's done it. And there was one other cash in on some. It's their favorite pay-per-view to do cash ins on.
And to end on a big swerve note, I mean, SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver, and the Monday Night Raw afterward all sold out already.
Yep.
So they need to deliver something big. And the big match that's going to sell is Cena versus Reigns, which is basically...
Yep, that'll sell.
If Cena or Reigns looked in a mirror and tried to face themselves. You know what it's like? It's like when you play Legend of Zelda and you have to face Dark Link. Cena versus Reigns. So that match will be... I don't know what the hell it's going to be. And I think at the very end, Owens, you hear... And Owens comes out and cashes in. I think, you know what? I can definitely see that happening.
Now, like I said, I think the most cash-ins, though, were, I think was, like, Raw or Smack. But, like, the pay-per-view that the most of them is definitely SummerSlam.
So here we go. I want to end the show on this clip tonight. This is what happened after Monday Night Raw. Oh, we want real quick. We have enough time.
Del Rio cashing on SummerSlam too.
The last highlight of Monday Night Raw was a very random but very dark Charlotte dismissing Ric Flair as her manager, like basically kicking him out of her little social club. Bringing up how he was never around when he was wrestling all those years with her growing up. How she doesn't care anymore because now she's a champion now. She's no longer Ric Flair's daughter. Now Ric Flair is just Charlotte's dad, and she's like, "You're dead to me."
Yep.
Really, really random, but bravo to Charlotte for digging deep and being a real bad bitch like that.
And let's be honest, though, like her having Dana Brooke is just basically her filling in for Emma.
But really good job to Charlotte for really sticking it to really elevating her heel game there. So here we go. Here is what happened after Monday Night Raw went off the air. Shane McMahon explains to Mick Foley and tells the WWE Universe why he left in 2009.
I think with any parent and sibling, or I should say parent and child relationship, you know, it's tough, especially with the older guard, allowing the new guard to flesh those ideas out and try them and go for it because they're so guarded against it. So,
just making a point.
So, was he not open enough to your ideas?
No. And what grew out of that was, I mean, you're asking me the real, you know, the reason that
yeah,
I left the
yeah,
company.
If you had to sum up the reason you left,
it stopped being a collaboration and it stopped being fun. And when that happened, you know, the WWE defines my father.
Right.
And I wasn't going to allow a deteriorating business relationship to affect our personal lives. And that's exactly what was happening. And so I decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I love him too much. And I decided to leave.
That makes sense. Vince
makes absolute sense. Honestly, I think that's what we suspected all along.
I mean, there was the rumor of him seeing the writing on the wall with Triple H and Stephanie, but I don't think that was, I think that's more.
But there it is right there. You heard it from Shane McMahon himself. I don't blame him. I'm loving the fact that originally we thought Shane was going to be around until WrestleMania and that's it. Apparently he worked out his differences with his Vince, yep. Stephanie, Triple H maybe. And he is now at least an on-screen character authority figure. Whether he has legitimate power behind the scenes or not, we don't know.
We'll find out,
but I'm loving the dynamic between Shane and Stephanie running Raw and SmackDown. It's going to be great. Punchy, Twitter, plugs, where are you going to be?
Yes, so hips are Punchy on Twitter. Also, like I said, June 17th, Slaughter stand-up summer showdown. That's a Friday night at Characters in Sloatsburg, New York.
And I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. I don't have any stand-up comedy performances, but you can just follow me on Snapchat. I'm loving Snapchat. Hams Gruber on Twitter and Snapchat. And again, Brainstew Radio Network coming sometime in June, early to mid-June. Look out for the announcements. Follow at Brainstew Radio on Twitter for the announcements. Guys, thank you so much for listening. As always,
peace.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, guys. We'll be back next week.